The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org.
Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I am Roger Bayramian along with Jason Matosian, and here we consider topics related to the Christian life, doctrine and discipleship, viewed through the lens of grace and truth. And in this episode, we will consider the topic of contentment. But before we go into our topic today, just wanted to talk with you, Jason, about how you're feeling today. It's May 28th, 2020, and this was a very eventful week in the life of our church as we have the opportunity to finally regather after many weeks of being apart, live streaming, Sunday service, and all the Zoom meetings. But how are you feeling now that we can finally begin to start again?
Yeah, I'm feeling excited, to be honest, and a sense of relief. It's a very strange burden that you kind of feel when you're not able to see the people you're trying to minister to, or at least be with them in person. And so I'm anticipating a nice return. Of course, a lot of people probably won't be joining us. I think there are a number of people that have said, you know, we're going to wait a little longer before we come back. But I'm excited. I can't wait to see everybody. I can't wait to see the masks that they're wearing. just get to catch up a little bit.
Mm, yeah. Great.
How about you? What are you thinking about it? Because you'll join us.
Yeah, I think it was just everything changed so quickly. We were planning this to be such a long term, and then last week we get news that came out from the president, and we didn't think our state here in California would move so quickly, and then we heard news there, and then we just got the announcements, and you know, we've been planning to regather, but we really had to scramble with how do we regather, and just thinking about the issues, and there's no perfect way to get back together. It's not just we're back to church and everything's normal again. There's so much to consider, but I'm excited to be back with people and to be as one body worshiping the Lord. I think the one thing I missed most was singing together and being able to hear the voices, even if we're in mass, at least being able to be in the same room worshiping the Lord together is something I think that's good for our soul.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the different responses to this. And I am anticipating, you know, that spectrum and wondering, you know, some people certainly are not going to come this first week. Others are just dying to get there. And how do you balance that? So we're trying to be, as you know, we're trying to be sensitive to everyone's kind of differing opinions, thoughts on the matter. And how do we turn all of our attention to Christ now? Just set aside the different thoughts you have on what's been going on and how do we come before the Lord and worship? That's the hope.
Yeah, there's so many distractions. This has distracted us from so many different things that we're forgetting why we're going to church when we get distracted with all of the logistics about being together again. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a good time and a good thing to look forward to this Sunday. And as we think about that and going to our topic today, we're going to tackle a very big topic that I think will carry on for more conversation is this idea of contentment. What is Christian contentment? How do we actually live out that contentment in our lives? It's more than just a theological definition or, you know, it's something really important in our lives that we want to connect the truth of what we know to our life. Many definitions, many different ways to talk about contentment. But, you know, if you think about contentment, what's one way you define it? How would you simply define it for our listeners? Of what's Christian contentment all about?
I mean, I think the simplest way of putting it, you know, and just in my mind and heart is being satisfied with where God has you. Just being satisfied where God has you. And obviously there's a lot to unpack in that, but that's, as I've lived and thought and tried to teach on the topic in the past, that language of satisfaction kind of comes to mind. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of connection to even thinking of that, of being satisfied with thinking about God's providence and control in our life. Mm-hmm. Because it's you know, when we think about satisfaction, what are we satisfied about? Are we just satisfied about our circumstances, or are we satisfied in God who has allowed the circumstances we find ourselves in, even if they're not favorable? Because I think, you know, this topic's easy if everything's going great. I'm content. Yeah. I got a great job. I got a great church. I have friends and family and food and clothing and all of these material things and relational things.
Yeah.
But contentment isn't really something that comes as naturally when things are going wrong.
Yeah.
But how do you find that satisfaction when your circumstances aren't favorable?
Yeah, I mean, this fits so well with what we were talking about the last time that we were together, mm-hmm. in terms of God's providence and some of the implications of God's providence, kind of understanding that the theology impacts life. And when you think about contentment and the idea of being satisfied with God and where God has you, I mean, really, I think you nailed it. It's really being satisfied in God, mm-hmm. right? And the only way that we can be satisfied in God, and the only way we can have satisfaction where He has us, and all those things considered all enough, is if we know Him. Mm. And so there's a real kind of a theological grounding to contentment. If we're not looking at Him, if we're looking at the circumstance, or we're looking at other things,
yeah.
we're not going to find contentment. Mm-hmm. At least, or it will be fleeting. It may be temporary. Maybe we'll find some satisfaction. I don't know, that song, I Can't Get. No, okay, I'm not going to sing, but yeah, we might find it temporarily,
yeah.
But really it's not going to last unless we keep our eyes on Him alone.
Yeah, I think there's a good, you know, the word you use of finding contentment, as I think of the key passage in the New Testament, the passage that you have to turn to when you think about this topic, is what Paul said in Philippians 4:11, where he says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Mm. And he had to learn it. Which meant we have to learn it in every situation. You just think of his life. Paul had great circumstances and he had very difficult circumstances that the Lord allowed him to go through. I mean, even when he became a believer, the Lord appointed his life to be a life of suffering and difficulty for the gospel's sake. But he had to learn it. And I think maybe our natural flesh doesn't want that. We think too much of arriving and of getting something, like we finally attained it. Yeah. But contentment isn't something you're just going to find it and you're done. You're always having to learn it. And as you're learning it, you have to hold on to it and you have to keep pursuing it. You can't let it go, right? In your life, when you finally start to understand it, the enemy is attacking the world, the flesh, the devil is going, hitting that desire for contentment and that pursuit of contentment.
Yeah. And temptation plays such a big role here, because the enemy is very crafty. And at every stage in our lives, he's tempting us to look somewhere else, to look for more, to look for something different. And as we look for something different, look for something more, every time our eyes kind of shift, we're at risk of losing that contentment. So I like that point that you're making. There's a pursuit here of contentment, and it's going to be a lifetime pursuit. You don't just arrive at it. I think that was a good point you're making. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, I always use the example of the world on how, if you think of marketing and advertising, one of their goals is to make us discontent so that we will think we will be content with what they're offering us.
Yeah.
But the genius is they grasp the understanding of our hearts that it we're so easily deceived. You know, we want the new iPhone, we want the new car, and we picture ourselves. You just think of the images and the way they hit your senses. You know, think of yourself inside of you, how you're going to feel, the status you're going to have. And you think, oh, I'm finally going to be content or happy. You don't say it, but there's a reason you want it, right? There's a desire in the heart that is attracted to that thing because you want something more. It's not the thing that does it. It's what you think it's going to provide you. You know, I've ministered in the church and have dealt with this among God's people. What do you find that is competing with contentment? How do you find it's difficult to push people toward contentment instead of the struggle with always wanting more?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So many things compete with our contentment. I think achievement in all different forms is kind of one that I see a lot. I mean, we have a pretty professional kind of congregation, a lot of people with advanced degrees and things. And so there's an achievement orientation that we all can have. I know I struggle with personally, you know. I want the next degree and I want the next accomplishment. Mm-hmm. I want the, you know, okay, hey, I just got the doctorate. Now I need to write the book or, you know, whatever it might look like. And so there's this achievement. And I think that it's kind of built into the American system. Mm-hmm. And we have this mentality that we are rugged individualists. We can do whatever we put our minds to doing. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it, you know, all these things. So it's, we're just focused on some level, some form of achievement. And until we get there, so some of our young guys, I think, oh, until I graduate. And then when they graduate, they're like, okay, when I get a good job. And then when they get a good job, or maybe they're thinking about a job, they're thinking, well, what about marriage? And it's always this something more to get me to where I'm supposed to be, based on what society maybe says, or you know, even the Christian culture. Yeah. As because we do have a culture, right? We do advance a position that, you know, oh, marriage seems to be better than, which kind of is interesting since Paul says being single is better, but you know, but we have this image of what it means to have arrived, and I think that keeps pulling all of us toward it, and until we get there, and then we realize, oh, that's not it. There's more.
And we can even fall into it. I think of our ideal of the church. We want the church to grow, and we can have mixed motives. You know, why do we want the number? Is it because we want to disciple more souls and see more people glorifying God, or does it add to the identity of, look, I'm successful in what I pursued, and I'm not content with the small church. We have to be bigger and growing and always seeing active things happening in our body to have that sense of, okay, I'm pleased with where I'm at. Like, I like how you said, you know, being satisfied and where God has you.
Yeah.
That means you can be content no matter what today.
Yep.
You don't have to get somewhere, be somewhere to be content.
And honestly, there's something about, and I want to use this language carefully, but there's something about being in the moment. That we need to live in the moment, not maybe the way the world, actually certainly not the way the world kind of teaches it, but we as believers need to be in the moment because God has us there in the moment.
Yeah.
And if we're convinced of God's providence, if we're convinced of God's active kind of work in our day-to-day moment by moment living, we're always looking ahead. I know this about myself. It's a real struggle. I'm always looking ahead. I'm always looking, what next? And I find myself not living in the moment and saying, Lord, how do I honor you right now? I'm too busy thinking about down the road. And I was thinking about that today. I haven't, my diploma came. Okay. I haven't had a chance to frame it, but I looked at it and I thought, that's it. It's all in English. My brother's was like in Latin at least, you know, and I'm just looking and going, it's this piece of paper. Now what? You know, instead of thinking, okay, well, in the moment today, God had me somewhere to love my children well, to take care of my family, my wife. It was, you know, I had some responsibilities with my extended family too today. Am I doing what God has me doing right now in a way that that's my vocation in the moment? That's my calling. I think we're so outside of the moment that we easily lack contentment. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that desire for more. It's something we want. We're always looking forward. We're not able to look and just stop and rest because, you know, culturally or that drive inside of us, it's always move, move, move. There isn't that contemplation. What has God done? And am I rejoicing in that? But you think about that. What happens when you actually do that? When you can sit down and say, okay, I spent this many years in school and, you know, I don't know how many years it was. We stopped counting your years of your PhD. But when you think of, I finally got and I finally accomplished this, you can sit back and thank the Lord for all of his mercy and his grace to get you there. But you can lose sight of that. And then you're not really content anymore. You're thinking and pursuing something else other than thankfulness.
And I was going to say that just nails it, right? So that one of the key connections is for us to have contentment, we must have gratitude, right? There's a certain humility of turning around, looking at the Lord, at what God has done. And, you know, I hate to use the cliche, but count your blessings, right? We stop and look back and look at the, you know, that's why in the Old Testament, we talk about stones of remembrance. Yeah. Right? Look back, see what God has done, how he's worked in your life, where he's brought you to. Rejoice in that. You know, be content in all this work that's taken place to get you where you are. And then serve him there. Yeah. But gratitude is a huge part of this, isn't it?
Yeah, because they think about the opposite. So one who is discontent is probably most likely complaining.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's your other option. You're not thankful anymore. And you think of discontentment, you think of complaining, and then really you think of you're now rebelling against God. You're saying, I don't like where you put me. You are not good because where I'm at is not good according to my standard. And that doesn't build a love for the Lord of what he's done. And then we forget the blessings. Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to your brother about that this week of, you know, yes, there may be some difficulties in your life, but are you thinking about all that God has done in your life? Mm-hmm. Are you going through that? I sometimes do that when I'm, you know, I like to hike a lot. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like to do is, you know, just out in the open, nobody around, just thinking in my mind, just praising God for what he's done. And looking back, I think there's testimony in scripture, right? In the Old Testament, they go through the history. God did this miracle. God did that. Yes. And if you're not recalling it to mind, you forget easily and you become discontent. But when you recall the mind, there's something that stirs in the heart of, wow, this is my God. I can start thanking him now. And it leads you to a place of growth instead of a place of, I want, right?
Yeah, and that's why built into the life of the church, the Lord has, I mean, a number of things to help recall to memory what he's done for us, but one in particular, right? He's got the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. Do this in remembrance of me. I mean, how do you walk away from the Lord's Supper or hearing the gospel yet again, thinking about your own sin, your own need for a savior, the atonement, all that he's done? How do you walk away from that going, well, I need more? You know, but so that's one of the reasons why, you know, like you said, the Old Testament has this, if you read through the Psalms, I've been reading through the Psalms recently, and it's amazing. They just constantly repeating the story of their salvation, the Exodus and all those types of things. And for us, it's the cross and the resurrection. We've got to remind ourselves of that. And it brings us to our knees in worship. It brings us to our knees in humility, because when you think about the cross, you're reminded of your own sin. I don't deserve anything more. Actually, I deserve far less than what God has given me. How can I be discontent with this?
Yeah, there was a quote in one of these books I was reading on contentment that tied into exactly what you said. And he made this comment. He said, "Has Christ crucified, resurrected on your behalf, done enough to make you content today? Or must he do a little more?"
Ouch.
Yeah, and that hurt when I read it. And I'm like, yes, that's true. And it just shows how self-focused we can become when we take our eyes off Christ and forget that this world is temporary. It's just a breath, you know, a mist, as James says. We're going to be here and then gone, that we lose sight of all that God has done and the blessings that we have in the cross and all that's wrapped up in there. You said that's why we need the church. We need the church to remind ourselves, to renew our minds every week, to remember and to continually preach the truth back to ourselves. Because I don't know about you, but I find I can be content in a moment, and then the next moment I'm back pursuing something, and it's hard to stay in that moment and to keep remembering.
Yeah, so no, you're just distracted. You're just a terrible sinner, Roger. I've never experienced that. I know what you're talking about.
I know. That's why I need you to absolve my sins every week.
Yeah,
to absolve them.
Yeah. I guess what I mean is I can't relate to even that moment that you're finding content. No, you're exactly right. We kind of get it for that moment that the Lord is humbling us and we're realizing all that we've been given. And then somehow the bent of our heart seems to kind of go back inward again, instead of being directed outward. And we, you know, more of me we want. Me. And it's heartbreaking when we realize it. It does make us long for glorification, because we're sick of this, you know, going back again. There's work that the Lord is doing in us, in preparing us for being with Him.
Yeah, I think that's when we think about trials and we think about sufferings, is that not trying to tear away this world from us so that we can focus on where our true hope lies? Is we forget that our home is not here, and forget that our hope is not in the things of this world. Sure, there's many blessings and we should enjoy them to the glory of God, but if we're so focused on that and we get distracted, then we're really not able to grow in our faith. When it's all going well.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was thinking about that last part that you said, that when the trials and those things come, and, you know, Matthew Henry, I know I keep going back to him, but he talked about, and I think I may have mentioned it last time, I had forgotten what I said, but this is a quote from him. This is after his daughter has died. And here's what he says. He says, "God has been teaching me to sing of mercy and of judgment. Lord, make me more perfect at my lesson, and shew me wherefore thou contendest with me. Lord, wean me from this world by it." What a desire. Wean me from this world. I think that's another way of saying, let me be content in you alone.
Yeah.
Wean me from this world by the whatever this suffering is, in that case, losing his daughter.
Because I think if you find that contentment in him alone, then you can find contentment to where you're at today.
Amen. Absolutely.
I mean, this topic is big. This topic has so many different things to think about. And, you know, we've just touched on the topic of contentment, just starting to think through all of the connections to our life.
Yeah.
And as we, you know, have thought about that and really wrapping up this episode on contentment, what's one thing you'll take away from this episode, and maybe one thing you'll want to think more about on the topic of contentment?
Yeah. I think the one thing that this was really helpful in reminding me about is just that idea of remembering, you know, looking back. I love that practical thought Roger, that you brought. Like, you know what, when you go off on your hikes, you just remember, just take some time to think, to contemplate all that God has done, all that he's done in your life up to this point, what he's doing. You might go, hey, recently this is what he's done, even a little further back, and just remember. I love that. So I'm going to take that home with me after this episode for sure. One thing, though, that's nagging, you know, that's saying, okay, there's more to discuss, and I know there's a lot more to discuss, but the one thing I want to think more about is, okay, but where is there a place for Christian ambition when we're thinking about contentment? You know, is there, how do these two relate? I think this is something we can unpack a little, maybe in our next episode even.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really good point on where does that pursuit and how do we think about ambition connected with contentment? That's the important thoughts to think about in our own lives. And yeah, we'll have to pick that topic up again.
Yeah. What about you? One thing you take away and one thing to think about some more.
Just remembering and thinking about that moment, living in the moment. Yeah. And how contentment is connected to the moment we're living in, that our moment is today. It's not tomorrow. That's not when we're going to find it. It's not in yesterday, but it's in this moment today. And just really thinking about that more for how can I practically do that? How can I practice that each day? What are those things I need to think about so I can focus each day, because every day is a new day. The Lord's mercy and grace is new, but we also have to start off the day thinking rightly. And so, yeah, those are some thoughts of what I'd want to think about in my own personal life. And, you know, we'll pick up this topic again in a future episode. Hope that you enjoyed this episode and learned a lot, and hope you'll join us again next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.